Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is the mayor of Atlantic City, Marty Small. Marty, thanks for joining us. I'm glad to get together with you. I think you've been doing a great job here in Atlantic City, and now that we've got this threat from New York coming up, I think your role is going to be even more crucial. So thanks for joining us.
Yes, and thanks for having me, Roger. It's a pleasure for me to be here, and it's a great day here in the city of Atlantic
Absolutely.
City.
So, tell me, how important do you think it is for the entire area to get together and figure out how to approach this? I mean, obviously, you can do certain things, but if everybody gets together and has one goal, I think it would be more effective.
Yes, I said now more than ever it's important that all the stakeholders row in the same direction, be on the same page, work together for the betterment of the great city of Atlantic City. We've enjoyed this monopoly casino gaming. We're the only destination on the East Coast. But now as times change, things have changed. You have neighboring states and municipalities near and far, you know, setting up, gaming for their area.
Sure.
Which, you know, affects Atlantic City.
Right.
Any competition is a threat.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about the threat of Pennsylvania, you know, Delaware, Maryland, that has chipped away from our business, Philadelphia, you know, now New York, I just remain optimistic that I don't think that it's going to be as bad as people think. And listen, iron sharp as iron. Right. At the end of the day, we have to make sure that we have our house in order, Atlantic
sure.
City.
Mm-hmm.
I pledge to the casino industry, whom I and my administration have a great working relationship with. We're going to do the things from a government side to make sure that we keep Atlantic City clean, we keep Atlantic City safe. This administration has invested $250 million in infrastructure that's going to affect and impact the main roads leading to the casinos. Atlantic Avenue will be done by Christmas. Pacific Avenue will be started in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to work together to beautify the city as much as we can. Our public works do a yeoman's job. The crime stats are declining year by year.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that we show Atlantic City clean and safe and that the city that we know it can be.
Right. Absolutely. What do you think the role of the casino industry should be, in Atlantic City in terms of the near term and also its future?
Well, listen, they've invested back in the community. They're our biggest employer in town, which is crucial. But everyone can do more.
Sure.
And we've had that conversation. But things have gotten better on the casino's role. They're the professionals. They have to do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
To market, to get people here. Listen, I tell everybody, yes, it's competition, but I don't care where you are. You don't have what we have here in the great city of Atlantic City, the world's famous boardwalk, the beach, world-class restaurants, world-class facilities. And, you know, we want to continue to market and promote that.
All right. Okay. So initially, we're looking at the paving of all the roads leading into the city. And you even did my neighborhood, so I'm happy about
Absolutely.
That. Right in front of my house. I was glad to see that. But and I see it happening little by little. I drove down MLK the other day, and that's been repaved. And
yes.
That was in bad shape last summer. I remember that.
Yes.
So I guess it takes a little while to do each of them.
Yes. And people have to understand and... I'm going to address this in a big way Monday in a press conference to give an update. But the Atlantic Avenue project would have been done.
Mm-hmm.
But we were sued by Atlanticare, the casino industry, and others. That held the project up for 2 years. We negotiated all day, and the judges' chambers came out, you know, with a plan.
Yeah.
And we were supposed to start paving 2 Octobers ago.
Sure.
Then administrations changed hands in Washington. And wasn't Atlantic City, and I said, listen, I'm not, you know, one, I'm a Democrat. I'm not going to pile on a Republican just to pile on. Like, it was what it was. Grants across the country were affected by Donald Trump. And, you know, I tell everybody every day that relationships matter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we called on Congressman Jeff Andrew,
mm-hmm.
who has a great relationship with Donald Trump.
Right.
And we got the money released. Then we put the plan together. The city got Atlantic City Electric to take over the lights on Atlantic Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're taking over the lights, they have to change the plan to their liking. That took some negotiating back and forth. We got the engineers and everybody going. The contractor, which is a very credible contractor, South State, who did the Venice Park Bridges. Mm-hmm. I believe they did MLK.
Right.
So they have a lot of history, great history, and completing work on time.
Right.
So we'll announce on Monday. It's unacceptable of where it is. I'm the mayor. I live here, too. It's not like that I don't drive these same streets or I have a certain type of car. I don't feel that impact. Right. It's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, people have to have patience. And we told them, you can't just go and pave a street. You got to do underground work. You got to do the curbing, because Atlantic Avenue is not just about the paving. It's about the enhanced intersections. It's about the sidewalk improvements, the new curbing, the new sidewalks being replaced where needed, you know, the synchronization of light. So I'm proud that probably by Christmas, both Atlantic Avenue and Pacific Avenue will be fully paved and the light synchronized for the first time.
Okay, great, great. So I believe it's 10 years now that Atlantic City is, the finances of Atlantic City are still controlled by the state. They just renewed that, for another couple of years?
Yes.
How does that impact what you want to do with the city?
Listen, it has no impact at all. MISRA, which is the Municipal Revitalization, the Municipal Revitalization Stabilization Act, which stabilizes Atlantic City finances, which in short is a full-fledged state takeover of the great city of Atlantic City, the only city that existed. People complained about the law in Canada, but it was nowhere near this. But the state has faith and confidence in this administration, and we've been able to govern.
Yeah.
The state is not here sitting next to me like you and, you know, saying, here, well, turn to this page and do this. No, it's communication. I mean, if they're taking over the city, that's the law. Mm-hmm. Of course we check in with them, but the city is ran in my vision, but we've come a long way. But you have to understand that, tell people all the time, men, women, political opportunists lie, but the numbers and facts don't. The facts are that the Atlantic City's ratable base went from $20.6 billion in 2010 to about $2.5 billion now, and counting, because of the amount of development and investor confidence that's going on. We got state aid after 2016. We got $26 million in state aid. Then in 2017, we got $13 million. And then 2018, we got $3.9 million. Mm-hmm. And every year we've reduced it by 15% to the fact that we only get $1,062,000. Now, all of these people always say that the state is financing Atlantic City and, you know, the state is running Atlantic City. But there are a plethora of towns that get way more transitional aid than Atlantic City.
Sure.
Transitional aid is supposed to be transition. It's supposed to be a temporary thing. And we're doing what we need to do to bring that down. But Wall Street, both Moody's and Standard & Poor's have put Atlantic City at investment grade, particularly Moody's. We're waiting on our review from Standard & Poor's, and the future is bright, and we're getting a lot of things done.
I have to give you credit for keeping the property taxes steady for the last 6 years, I believe. It didn't increase. I think we're going up a little bit this year.
Yes, and I was disappointed by that big time, because we told the residents and business community of Atlantic City at the State of the City address at Golden Nugget casino, with the state sitting in the front row, that we'll have a seven straight year with a tax decrease, because that is my goal. Like, you know, we don't just spend money out of control, contrary to what people think. My goal, I tell our finance team, we're having a tax decrease.
Right.
And with a difficult budget, we presented a tax decrease, a tight budget, 2.3 cents. So the state said, well, look, under transitional aid, you know, you're supposed to have a 2% tax decrease, tax increase. And, you know, with a new governor that has a new vision, she's clearly supportive of Atlantic City and understands how important the great city of Atlantic City is to the state of New Jersey, we were forced to do it. And I had to come in front of the camera and tell people that, yes, I did say a tax decrease for the seventh straight year, but that still doesn't change the fact that the great city of Atlantic City, since 2020 to this year currently, is number one in the state in tax decreases at 13.7%.
Mm-hmm.
That's the state of New Jersey's numbers via DCA. But when you look at it, I would never, ever say to people, well, it's not going up that much, because it's everybody's money.
Right.
You don't know what people's finances are. But when we did the numbers, it was a very cheap house based on about 100 and no, about I think 200,000. It was a small increase in, it was like $31.54, mm-hmm. You know, per, and a $600,000 home was about $250 divided by four. Mm-hmm. So it's not massive. I mean, there's a lot of worse places in the state of New Jersey, and I would never shed any bad light on any municipality, but I'm happy where we are. And in spite of, we're still getting things done. My administration is constantly investing in human capital.
Yeah, no question about it. So the pilot program is still in effect. The payment in lieu of taxes for casinos, is that working for the city, or would you rather go back to assessing the properties and getting their, I guess, the true value?
Well, it depends on, you know, who you talk to and where it is. Mm-hmm. I supported the pilot in a big way last time. The numbers might have been down, but we've also had other buckets of money, such as the clean and safe, the infrastructure, right. You know, and more. We got money through the casinos, a $2 mm-hmm. tax assessed for public safety. That's for both police and fire. And, you know, the pilot has worked, and it's really worked to our favor with, you know, with the extra IETs and everything. So as long as the great city of Atlantic City is made whole, meaning under the last law that we had to go up, you know, 3% every year, no matter what. As long as we're made whole and, you know, we can continue to do the things that we do, I would definitely support it.
Can you tell me if I've looked into this and I can't find the answer. Is online gaming revenue still counted as part of the tax, the pilot program for the city?
Yes. Well, we benefited from online gaming, you know, with the IETs and the percentage that, you know, comes back to the city. And that's why a lot of people want that money in this upcoming pilot negotiation, including the casinos and CRDA. And, you know, my job is to protect Atlantic City. And I'm going to do that to the best of my ability.
Well, their argument is that gaming doesn't take place in Atlantic City, but it actually does, because the law says it has to. The bets are taken in Atlantic City. So, you know, for them to argue the other way around, I think it's a little specious. I think you have a good argument there.
Yes. Yeah, we.
So let's talk about Visit AC. I mean, this was created a few years ago. I did an interview with Gary Musich earlier. How is that working for you? Is that? I mean, they take all the marketing and PR functions, and of course all the tourism functions away from the city. Is that, are they doing a good job?
That's fine. That's perfectly fine. I believe Visit Atlantic City is in great hands. Mm-hmm. Kudos to Gary Musich and his entire staff. They do a great job. We have a great working relationship. Gary and I meet with our public information officer about every other month, mm-hmm. or, you know, as needed. The city is a partner in everything they do in the air show and the beach concerts that, you know, through our partnership we brought back.
Right.
And we're excited. I mean, you know, the city is going to do the marketing of the services and everything that we do, but we're sharing that. We share their stuff, they share ours, and, you know, we lean on each other, we communicate, and I believe it's a great partnership and it's only going to get better.
Okay, great. So, we've got some exciting residences being built here. We've had some open on Kentucky Avenue. I can actually see it out the window here. Townhouses, and then there's down by the old Golden Nugget, the old Atlantic City Hilton. They're going to build what, 70 or so townhouses or something in the South Inlet, which is a very reputable builder. And of course the project on the old Garwood Mill site, which are going to be condos. I mean, and all these places that I just mentioned are a block from the beach. Where can you get that any place else?
Anywhere
in New Jersey, on the East Coast for that matter.
Yep, and that's what separates the great city of Atlantic City from everyone else. And I remember when I first became mayor, you know, the word was CRDA is out of the housing business, so no one is going to spend their private money and invest in Atlantic City. Mm-hmm. Again, men, women, political opportunists lie, but the numbers and facts don't. You talked about the projects from down there by the Atlantic Club. You're talking about national reputable developer, Kay Hovnanian, mm-hmm. who is building hundreds of units. They're moving dirt around now. Yeah. Groundbreaking is officially next month. Mm-hmm. Phase one is 38 unit. Phase two is going to be another, you know, couple of hundred units. They're also going to be building in between on Atlantic, the block in between New Hampshire and Maine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
30 units there. Now, when you talk about the empty spots, if you flew back in the day it was a helicopter,
yeah, right.
But if you fly a drone over the inlet in Atlantic City, you see a bunch of empty land. And people have to understand every piece of parcel isn't owned by the city.
Sure.
And you got people that, you know, want a king's ransom to, you know, sell their land because they know eventually things are going to come. But I do have to give kudos to Pat Fasano, who kind of assembled a team that recruited people here in Atlantic City to develop and kind of assembled all of the land, you know, in partnership with others. So when you look at the great city of Atlantic City, if you're standing by the Beach Club HQ at Ocean Resorts, and to the right, in between Ocean Resorts and the old Waterside, it's going to be hundreds of units, K-Hive, Trax Partners, and everyone, all the way up to the beach. And they're saving the beachfront, obviously, for, you know, a more extensive development. Sure. But it's happening. And these people don't need Atlantic City.
Right.
They can go make money anywhere. Right. But they're investing their private money in Atlantic City because they believe in the city. They believe that they can make money. Make no mistake about it. We want them to make money. And they believe in this administration. We are tremendously business-friendly. And another reputable developer, the Kushners. They're building, you know, across the street from Gardner's Basin and more. And I'm not going to say any names, but Trump Plaza is sold.
Yep.
And that's a site that we made possible. And a lot of people wanted to play politics. Like I said, I'm not playing politics. It was for the health, welfare, and safety of the Atlantic City residents and visitors.
Sure.
Trump Plaza wasn't there. Chunks of concrete, falling down. So what happens if that kills someone? Mm. So we did the responsible thing to much fanfare. We tore it down. We made the Boys and Girls Club some money. And now the easiest and best piece of property in the city, because all you got to do is tell someone, go down Atlantic City Expressway, keep going till you can't go no more. You're going to run right into that property. But, you know, development is a copycat league.
Right.
And like I said, I'm going to let the person and his team who I know that purchased it make that announcement themselves. But I think a lot of people from the outside is going to look and say, oh, wow, they're in Atlantic City?
Yeah.
They must know something.
Well, you know, five or six years ago, they weren't coming to Atlantic City because the tax rate fluctuated so much.
Yep.
And they're not going to build a house if the taxes are going to go sky high. And the fact that you held them steady for that length of time, I think, encouraged them to come into town.
Yes. And like I said, now is the opportunity. The city has all the momentum in the world. We're working with all of our stakeholders and partners, and that's why we're going to continue to make it a great day here in the city of Atlantic City.
Great. Well, you know, I left out Baderfield for one reason.
Okay, let's talk about
I'm not really fond of that plan.
I can respect
it's
that.
It's a huge piece of land. I think it's the largest undeveloped piece of land on the East Coast, on the water like that. And a little race car for rich people, I don't know if that works for us. How far is that set in stone, or can we?
I'm going to look right into your camera. Baderfield will happen. It's going to happen. The city will have tax relief for years to come. You know, we're going to quickly become one of the lowest tax towns in Atlantic County. The city is going to get $100 million from the sale and $15 million to build a community recreation center for youth and seniors, which we're excited about. And that money, and I say this line all the time, will not be used to hire employees or buy basketballs. We're going to do legislation. I'm going to send it down to city council that we can't spend more than $5 million a year to put into the budget for tax relief.
Right.
And it don't have to be $5 million. It could be $3 million. It could be 33 years. We're not going to do nothing irresponsible like lower the taxes like at a record across the country by putting a lot of money into the budget. We're going to be responsible. And you have to remember, once those units and everything get built, it's going to be the gift that keeps on giving. It's going to more than double our ratable base. So then, you know, $2.5 billion that we said, it will be $5 billion or more. But it's in the DEP process now. I'm not in love with the racetrack either. I'm in love with what it does to our taxpayers. And who wouldn't want a four-plus billion-dollar project to succeed? It's an auto enthusiast industry. I'm going to be a new industry coming to town, and it'll be exciting.
It's going to be loud, too. The other day, they had the truck thing over there.
The truck meet, yeah.
And, boy, it was loud in Venice Park. I can
yes, yes. And trust me, I get all of the phone calls.
I'll bet, yeah. So I hope we can measure that at some point.
Yes.
So You're a board member of the CRDA, and there's a lot of questions in town. What have they ever done for Atlantic City? Taking things off the market and not developed anything. It seems to be a political plum for the CRDA director. Every time there's somebody in there, it's a failed politician or something like that. I mean, tell us what you think the CRDA does for the city and how you work with them.
Well, I would not disparage my colleagues at CRDA or get into it. Just like I said with the casinos, can they do better? Absolutely. Have they been an asset to me and my administration? Absolutely. And a lot of people just say things, but we're a nation and a state and a city that's governed by laws, and the law is if you're tax exempt, you pay no taxes.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people say. Well, CRDA got all of this property. But I will say that if you have a plan to develop in a CRDA property, you can contact my office or CRDA. They don't want to hold on to the land. If someone has a project that's development worthy, they'll get the approvals. And like I said, I don't know what the future of CRDA holds. They don't have the money that they used to have.
Right.
One thing that the great city of Atlantic City has done well, those hardworking men and women on our zoning and planning board, we've done that right for a long time, but we're under a different legislation, which before the state takeover, which created the tourism district, it's S11 that gave all zoning and planning functions back to the city. It's too much confusing. Even CRDA says, yes, let's give it back to the city. So we're looking forward to that.
Okay, great. So let's go back to the casino. This year is the 50th anniversary of the passage of the Casino Control Act, which created casinos in Atlantic City. The first one opened resorts 18 months later in 1978. So it's time to celebrate what the casinos have done for Atlantic City. What do you think should be the role of the city in helping to promote that?
Well, I mean, we are the best hospitality town around. One thing we do extremely well is special events. I'm sure there will be some coordinating with the city, with, we approve all the fireworks, if it's anything else, but I think that would be more casino-centric. And kudos to my special advisor, Judge Persky, who wrote the Casino Control Act legislation. And, it's been an up and down 50 years, but one thing I would like to say is, for the naysayers, the rumors of the great city of Atlantic City's demise is greatly exaggerated. We've been down this road before, just recently, 2012, when the national media did a hit piece on the great city of Atlantic City saying that the boardwalk was destroyed when that was Seaside Heights.
Exactly.
And the piece of boardwalk that floated, ironically, it was on the corner of my house. Piece of boardwalk that floated was a damaged boardwalk that was going to be repaired anyway,
right,
because we did the expansive project from the Army Corps, of engineers. So people said Atlantic City was done. 2014, when a plethora of casinos closed, Atlantic City was done. The 2016, when the state took over, Atlantic City is done. And this is 2026 going on 2027, and we still standing.
Yeah, no question about that. So I'm a former dealer, and so I support...
What casino?
I was at Caesars and the Golden Nugget.
Okay, well, you at Caesars when it was Boardwalk Regis?
Yes, I was.
Wow.
So okay. I was an original Caesars dealer.
Okay.
So I know how much smoking used to bother me. As a non-smoker, I didn't like to breathe that stuff, but you had to. There was no way around it. I'm a big supporter of this group, Cease in Atlantic City, that is seeking to extend the smoking ban into the casinos. Every other place in town, you can't smoke inside except casinos. Is there something city council can do to pass something like that, to bypass the state, which seems to be dragging its feet at every juncture?
Well, again, city council can do what it wants. We were part of changing the 25% when I was on city council. But at the end of the day, the state does have rights to veto minutes of city council and more. And right now, that's a state issue. You and I are respectfully on the other side of that issue. When I look at it and I, testified in front of the Senate committees and assembly committees, and I said too, both my mother and grandmother passed away due to cancer, so I'm definitely, sensitive. But, as the mayor of the great city of Atlantic City, sometimes you have to make decisions that aren't popular, and you have to stand for something. And I know the damage that it would cause if we lost all of those jobs to families in Atlantic City and Atlantic County, and that's my position. Am I a fan of the quote compromise? You know, whatever that is, yes, but I don't, you know, want to do a full ban, you know, right now.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of studies that say we won't lose jobs, we'll actually increase business.
But understand.
I know that's an argument for the cease to make. I'll let them do that. So in the beginning, we talked about, you know, putting a group together, and I'm recalling something Judge Persky put together back in the 70s, the Committee to Rebuild Atlantic City. Before casinos came, and that got the business community, the city officials, and state officials of the southern New Jersey area together to really get on the same page. Everybody had the same goal, and they wanted to achieve the same thing. Could we do that again for this to mitigate this impact from the New York casinos in terms of let's get some more non-gaming attractions here, let's build up the city so that we can withstand the impact that we'll get from New York casinos?
I'm always a fan of collaboration. We don't want to continuously oversaturate with special committees,
right,
and this, and you know, there's been a lot of committees, you know, through the years that had a grand plan that never,
right,
materialized. If it's something that's going to materialize, that's A, going to benefit the residents of Atlantic City, which in turn benefiting the residents of Atlantic City, benefit the people that come here, such as the tourists,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for it.
Great. So, last question. You've just been reelected to another four-year term. What are your goals during those 4 years?
I'm running a continuation platform that, number one, first and foremost, the taxpayers. Number two, that the youth and seniors are our two most precious resources. Public safety, our numbers are way down. You know, reinvestment in the community, such as the small businesses, because prior to casino gaming, the small business community, and particularly the minority business community on the north side, was the hub,
sure,
of Atlantic City. This administration gave out $900,000 in grants to people that were able to open up businesses at the Walk, maintain and extend their businesses. Hundreds of jobs were created. So, you know, different things like that, this administration is all about. I'm humble, blessed, and honored to have received the support that I received, particularly under the circumstances, and to be able to get more votes than any other mayor under this form of government was definitely humbling, and I'm grateful, and I'm going to continue to work as hard as I can for the residents of Atlantic City.
Okay, great. And I'm sorry, one more question.
Go ahead.
One of your mentors was Jim Whalen, the former mayor of Atlantic City. That's right. Yeah, he was. I think he was the best mayor in the casino era.
Mm-hmm.
What did his influence mean to you now that you're mayor?
His influence meant a lot, and I'm never going to forget one conversation that we had in the office back there, which is the mayor's office.
Right.
It looks totally different now.
Right.
But when I graduated college, and when I was in college, I would often visit the mayor's office. And I remember that he honored our basketball team at Stockton. And, you know, I was telling my teammates that that's going to be my office.
Yeah.
One day I'm going to be the mayor. And, you know, we went in there and he said, Marty Small, what job you need this summer? And his connections with then Ed Suter, who ran Caesars, I got a nice job in the casino parking garage, which they worked it out that I had a different shift. It didn't make the people at Caesars happy.
Sure.
Because I went from Caesars at 6 in the morning, worked my shift, got off at 12 o'clock noon, and then went to Boston Shoe Store on Atlantic Avenue and, worked there. And he always said, you know, go to college, get good grades, come home and get a job. And I remember saying to him, hey, went to college, got good grades, I graduated, now I need a job.
Yeah.
Like every kid, you have a fascination of playing some type of pro ball, going overseas, and I knew that basketball wasn't going to do it the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So I had a cup of coffee with the Seagulls. I had entertained offers, you know, going overseas, but at the end of the day, I was back home and I wanted to put my degree to use. And just to show you how you can't take anything for granted, every graduation I speak at, I tell kids that the piece of paper that you have called a degree or diploma just makes you more marketable.
Right.
Nothing is guaranteed, because you or anybody else couldn't tell me that with my name recognition, staying locally, playing basketball at college, name always in the paper, graduated with a degree, that I wasn't going to come home with a job from my guy, my mentor,
right,
you know, the late, great Jim Whalen, and start off at $50,000, and I got a piece of humble pie pushed in my face. I remember that I was supposed to come in and run this safe haven program, but the grant got delayed. So he said, hey, you either can work for the Rites of Passage program with Shemaine Gunter-Gary, that makes at the time about $8 an hour, or you can work in city welfare, which at the time made $19,500. And I chose city welfare, and I worked as hard as I can. Eventually, I left city welfare and ran the Safe Haven program, and then I was recruited by the Boys and Girls Club because of the new facility jerk, and I was a Boys and Girls Club kid. And I went in the office, and I said, Mr. Will, I'm struggling. I said, I'm making $25,000 with the city now with the Safe Haven program. Boys and Girls Club just offered me $30,000. And I'm struggling because I love the job that I do. And he set me in there and he said, as the mayor of Atlantic City, the job that you do with the youth and seniors with the Safe Haven program makes me look good.
Yep.
As the mayor, of course I would want you to stay.
Mm-hmm.
But as a friend of Marty Small, so someone who I knows that wants to be a councilman, you got to take that job because you can't work for the city and be in the government.
Yep.
Boys and Girls Club is a private nonprofit. I would tell you to, you know, take that job. Then he put me on a library board to get some, you know, board experience and dealing with numbers and everything. Then I ran for the Board of Education and City Council, and now I'm the mayor. The rest is history. So I owe a debt of gratitude to Jim Whelan for instilling in me those values as a youngster.
Great. Well, it's great to hear how hard you worked to get to this, yes, position, and we all respect that. So, Mayor, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. I like your comments on the casino industry in the future, so we'll try to make it there.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yep. Cool.